I don't know where we've learned this, but somewhere along the way, it's almost like we have taught ourselves to treat our bodies kind of in these compartments. Maybe it's just social media because you can follow certain people, quote unquote, influencers that only focus on specific things that maybe has caused us to think differently, right? Like, my health is my health. Well, then my health is also my food. And so I'm going to follow this person for food. And then this person talks about mental health. So I'm going to follow this person for mental health. And then spiritual. Okay, I'm going to follow this person for spiritual. As you can see where I'm going, and then we live in just our everyday life and we forget that at all times, we have three main parts that I like to talk about that are communicating to us. It's the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. Some of them may feel quieter at times, while others may feel louder, but nonetheless, all three of these are going to carry you throughout your day, from how you believe, leading you to your behaviors. All of them are influencing each other. And one of their main objectives, besides the spiritual, is to protect you from emotional pain. I leave out the spiritual because God doesn't call us to avoid, nor does He prevent us from wanting to feel pain. And I think a lot of that is dictated by how we view God. But He is not trying to cause us to avoid the emotional pain. He actually wants to walk with us through it. But our physical body, since it's a lived experience, and our emotional wounds will go into protection mode at all costs. I just had a session with one of my clients the other day, and she kind of was putting this piece together in Revelation as I was talking about anxiety and maybe health anxiety. And then we were talking about her spiritual side, and then we were talking about food. And she kind of said, like, I don't think I realized how I was separating each area of my life without thinking that, like, oh, if I'm not eating enough, that's going to impact and can impact my anxiety. And then when I have anxiety, it can also impact my ability to want to eat. And so we were really making and connecting these dots. And so maybe you're asking, like, what does this have to do with anxiety? Well, a lot, as I just kind of shared with my client. I think to move through something is to properly understand that anxiety at its root is often, I'm not going to say always, but is often worry or fear of some kind. And when we recognize that anxiety thinks it's doing a job to protect us, for example, coming up with every possible scenario that could go wrong, then we can begin to work through our own personal roots of why this continues to show up in our lives. And that's what I was doing with my client the other day in our session. When I personally started to listen to what my body was telling me, I realized how disconnected I was from what I believed to what I was feeling. I always thought I was doing everything right until I realized I wasn't. And then I realized how much I had suppressed. And then I realized, like, oh, this is what people say when they are saying they have anxiety. This is what that feels like. I never realized that anxiety is so much of a physical, not sensation, but an experience than it is mental. I mean, it's both, but it definitely is a physical experience. And I was doing this to merely stay alive. And for me, I just sometimes didn't know where to start when all of this happened. And that's why I want to also share with you that through summer, I decided to keep my self-paced course 50% off. And you guys gave great feedback. You were loving it, that you're able to get it for 50% off. And I just wanted to continue to bless you to be able to say, if you are ready to get started with not feeling stuck anymore, working through how you see yourself, your relationship with God, anything which is clarity of thought, get my self-paced course right now for 50% off. And that way you have it for life. You get access to it whenever you want. You log in and it's yours forever. So the only bonus is that whenever I update anything or add anything, you get access to that. So why not get it for 50% off? It will be in the podcast episode description. So wherever you're listening, head to the podcast, scroll down. And one last little thing before I keep going, I also have a survey I would love for you to fill out. All you have to do is click the link. It's literally 5 questions. And I just want to get to know you more. I want to hear your thoughts. I want to kind of know where you're at. And so if anything, head to the podcast description, fill out the survey, and while you're there, get the course for 50% off. So as I was sharing about my client the other day, she had her own revelations about what was not helping her with anxiety. And we kind of talked through them. And I think that these 3 things are very subtle. And I think we do them a lot thinking that they're helping. And so let's get right into it. The first one is trying to think your way into peace. Like, if I understand this, I'll feel better. So let me overanalyze, let me replay everything, let me try to make every thought perfect. And you're trying to like create peace that's like manufactured through mental rehearsal. And peace isn't created by more thinking when the body feels unsafe. And so I was showing her and teaching her how to help her body feel safe through just, you know, practical techniques, wherever she is, things that she can do to help support her body in these different areas, emotional, physical, spiritual. But we cannot manufacture peace. We just can't create it. And I think that's why we get so frustrated, right? We're trying to overanalyze. We replay everything. What am I doing wrong? And the body needs to feel safe, but more importantly, that God talks about how he gives us the peace that passes understanding, and he doesn't give us peace that the world gives. And so there is this level of safety and trust that we have to experience with the Lord above all, because we cannot manufacture that kind of peace. Number 2, using control as a way to feel safe. This is something that, just continuing with my client the other day, of this revelation for her of how much of her life she was trying to control and didn't even realize it. Because it's like this idea, if I just plan it out, if I mentally prepare every scenario, if I need certainty, which is a big one, before I can relax, if I try to manage all these outcomes or people, that gives us a temporary relief, but what happens is that it reinforces anxiety. So again, when we are trying to predict, control, manage, whatever that is, people, situations, scenarios, we are trying to control the level of pain or not pain or the things that we experience. Again, which is why we will fear and worry. So when we start coming up with all these scenarios that we think we can control, we think we're preventing something from happening. So that control gives us that temporary relief, like, okay, I got this. I can do this. I've thought of every scenario. But really, it just reinforces and can reinforce the anxiety. When we look at the Bible, we so often see, especially in the Old Testament, how when the Lord was not with them, it was almost impossible for them to exceed in a battle, to do what they were called, because the Lord had to be with them. And it wasn't in what their ability was. I just read Gideon this morning, and he won battles with trumpets and torches. And there was only 300 of them, right? So I think what this is saying, you know, in a sense, is we have choices, but we don't have control. Gideon had a lot of choices early in his leadership roles to not take control and say, well, this is dumb. We're using trumpets and torches. He had choices. He could have controlled what he thought was going to happen. He could have came up with every scenario about why this is going to go wrong. But the Lord told him what to do and he followed pursuit. I'm not saying that your life is this easy equation. We know the whole story, right? But Gideon's story was being written and he didn't know every step. Like we know his every step. The third thing, and this is such a big one, avoiding discomfort instead of allowing it. It is so big and often overlooked. My clients will come to me and they'll just say, I don't want to feel this. I actually send out a pre-session form when I'm working with one-on-one clients. And sometimes in the section, the question that I ask them of, what do you want to talk about in our next session? They'll say, I just don't want to feel like this. And I get it. I get it. But I know that there has to be a willingness to allow discomfort. Because we will distract ourselves constantly. We will avoid silence. We'll numb ourselves or we'll stay busy. And then we're not really allowing ourselves to experience the sadness, the pain, the anger, and sometimes the joy, the happiness, because our body doesn't know how to do that. And so we can suppress it. We can, again, avoid it. But avoiding or avoidance teaches the brain that this feeling is dangerous. So every time you try to avoid something, your brain can kind of flag it as, okay, this is not safe. So the top three subtle things are trying to think your way into peace, using control as a way to feel safe, avoiding discomfort instead of allowing it. I wonder which one really stuck out to you the most. And whichever one that was, I want you to take a minute and ask yourself, where did this come from? Can I even see how I'm, am I even at the level of recognizing I want to control everything? Can I recognize that I don't like discomfort and I will avoid it at all costs? Where are you in that process? Isaiah 26:3, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace, those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. I wanted to include this scripture because I think it's so important. Is there's often a disconnect between the emotional and the spiritual because they know what is true about God and his character, but it's actually living that out that's the hardest part to connect. So when I say that he will give you and keep you in perfect peace when we are stayed focused on him, the goal is that is because they trust in you is what the scripture says. Trust. Do we trust God with our pain or do we think that we can handle it better than he can? Do we trust him? Do we think he's causing? Do we think he allowed this? Like, what is that, right? And this goes back to the question that I kind of said earlier. Our view of God is going to impact how we handle our anxiety, how we walk through the perceptions that we're carrying right now. Psalm 55:22, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. I think we wrestle sometimes with he will not permit the godly to slip and fall, but the first part of that passage says, give your burdens to the Lord. So yes, he is going to protect you and you will feel safe with him, but not in the way that you think. Because pain is a part of living in this world, but pain doesn't have to be unbearable or unmanageable. It can be something that we flow in and out of. And I'm not trying, again, to oversimplify your pain or your experience, but I do want you to know what is possible. And if you need a starting point, my course right now is 50% off. Head to the podcast description, scroll down, hit the link, and just get started. And if you're like, you know what, summer's coming, it's busy, get it now while it's on sale and you can do it in the fall. But just have it, invest in yourself, even the small amount, because you have lifetime access for it. And I always say, you're one choice away from getting unstuck. I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that it challenged you to see the goodness of God in your life and that whatever you are going through, God is with you and not punishing you. Share this episode with someone who has been praying for a mental breakthrough. Sometimes all we need is someone explaining something in a new and fresh way to get that breakthrough. Also, would you take 30 seconds to leave me a rating and review? It brings me so much joy to read them, and it's a way that lets me know you're enjoying the podcast. Lastly, go get my free 3-day study on how to deal with emotions in a biblical way. Psalm 18:19 reminds me of this. God delivers you because he delights in you. Don't forget that. I'll see you in a few days.